Today's daf is Chul and Daf Tzadi Ches. We left off in Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. We had just learned the statement of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had discussed Bittul in three contexts, three separate Isurim. He spoke about being Mevatel a Gid B'Shishim, the Gid Anasha B'Shishim, about being Mevatel the Kchal, the udder of an animal B'Shishim, and about a Beitza, an egg, being Batel B'Shishim. But the way Rav Nachman said it was that a Gid is Batel B'Shishim, but the Gid doesn't count toward the minion, doesn't count toward the shishim. Kchal is batel b'shishim, but the kchal itself, the flesh of the kchal itself, of the udder itself, counts toward the shishim, connected the milk that's inside of it. And the beitz is b'shishim ve'ein beitza min minyan. If you have an aser egg, which we're going to assume for now means a trefa egg, that an egg of an animal that's a trefa, so that egg is going to be batel b'shishim with 60, if it's mixed with 60 other eggs, but it doesn't count as one of the 60 other eggs, because obviously it itself is aser. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi, about 10 lines, 12 lines before the end of the page, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Breder Misharshio, Kchal Atzmo Aser, that by focusing on the case of the udder itself is aser, V'nafal L'keter Acheres Oser, and if that udder falls into a different pot, it's going to aser that other pot. Meaning the udder itself is always assumed to retain enough milk that there's a mixture of milk and meat in the udder itself. Amar Ravashi ki avinu be Rav Kahana yibayulan. So Ravashi says when we were by Rav Kahana, we had the following shaila: Kimisha arinan bedidei misha arinan, or b'maydin nafak mine misha arinan. When we try to measure the udder and whether we have shishim, do we measure it based on its own, based on the full volume of the udder, or do we measure based on how much milk we assume has left the udder when it was cooked with the other items? So it says more pshita to bedidei misha arinan. And clearly we evaluate based on the full volume of the udder itself. Because if we're only measuring based on what the amount of milk that has left the udder, well, how would we ever know that? How would we ever be able to identify exactly what that is? Elameatza, so ask the Gemara, okay, so if that's the case, that we measure based on the entire udder, so obviously what we're assuming is that the milk that it filled the udder has completely dispersed throughout the entire pot, evenly dispersed throughout the entire pot that it was cooking in. Well, if that's the case, well, then after the udder has already been cooked in one pot, when you put it in another pot, it shouldn't make anything else aser, because it's already been batel in the first pot. And yet we just said that even after you cook the udder in shishim, in 60 times of kosher meat, and you take that same, so the whole pot's going to be mutter, but then you take that udder and you put it in another pot, that udder is still considered to be aser, it's still going to aser other things. Well, why should that be the case? Shouldn't it have already become batel, because all the milk that was in the udder has spread evenly throughout the first pot and has already become batel? So answers the Gemara, no. Kivan dam Rav Yitzchak Breder Misharshia, Ukchal atzmo aser, shavur rabban kechaticha denevela. That once we say that the udder itself is aser, we see that the rabbanan treat it as if it's a piece of nevela, as if it itself is fundamentally, inherently aser, not just as a result of the milk that's inside of it. Once originally it contains both milk and meat, so we treat it as if it is inherently aser. Okay, so new topic now. Then we're moving on to Rav Nachman's other statement. Rav Nachman had said that a beitza is b'shishim, ve'ein beitza min a minyan, that an egg becomes batel b'shishim, becomes batel in 60 times the amount, but the beitza doesn't count toward that number of 60. The beitza itself doesn't count toward the number of 60. So Amar Le Ravidi Bar Rav Abaye, the Meimer Diyava Taima. Wait a second, does that mean to suggest that an egg, when cooked with other eggs, is no same tam, that it gives flavor to other things? V'amriinshi kimaya debei bialma. You know, there's an expression people use when something has no taste. They say it's like the waters of an egg. It's like nothing. It's like the waters of an egg. It's like the liquid of an egg. Implication being that when you cook an egg in water, the water that the egg was cooked in doesn't have any change in taste. The egg doesn't give tam outside of itself to the water that surrounds it. So how can you say that when you cook an egg with other eggs, that there's some transference of tam where we require bitul b'shishim? Samalei hachab ma'eskinan bebeitza sefroach. He says, no, our situation that we're talking about is beitza sefroach, is an egg that actually has a chick inside of it. So it's not the egg that's no same tam, as Rashi writes, shahabasar no same tam. Lo shna tmea, v'lo shna tahora, dinevelahi. The basar is no same tam. It's the meat of the afroach that's no same tam, whether it be kosher, whether it be whether it be a non-kosher bird, whether it be a kosher bird, it's considered to be a nevela and it's no same tam. So says Gemara, esve beitzim taharos shasholkan. Well, just even before we get to that, the Rashi, the way Tosfos over here says that it's lav dafka beitz hasafroch. When we say beitz hasafroch, it says hu adin benimsa badam. He says the truth is you don't even have to say that there's an actual chick inside of the egg. You can just say that you found dam inside of the egg, and it's the dam that actually gives tam to everything else. It's just that a regular plain egg itself can't give tam, but if it has anything inside of it, whether it be an afroach or whether it be dam, it has the ability to give over tam. The Radvaz strongly disagrees with Tosfos. The Radvaz in Hilchos Me'achol Sasuros on the side of the Rambam in Perktes Vav Halach Yutes writes that that's a major chumri. He says to suggest that even when there's dam in it that it's automatically going to give tam is a chumri yaseir. He says dafka beitza safroach, that it's going to aser that which it's cooked with, because the afroach is considered like basar nevela and therefore gives tam in the entire tafshil, but a little drop of blood doesn't give tam into everything that it's cooked with. And even though Tosfos quotes a raya, because shada tichla bekula, that the blood is said to affect everything, he says that means it's said to affect the entire beitza, that when you find a blood spot in an egg, you got to throw out the entire egg, but not in regards to the to asering other things that the egg is cooked with. But nevertheless, says the Radvaz, since the Balei HaTosfos are the Balei HaTosfos, and they're so great, we have to yield to their shita even when we don't understand it. So the Radvaz says, even though I think it's a chumri yisera, we nevertheless have to follow the shita of the Balei HaTosfos. Okay, says Gemara Esvei, beitzim tahoros shasholkan and beitzim tmeos. If you have kosher eggs that are cooked together with non-kosher eggs, im yesh ben benosin tam kulan asuros. If the non-kosher eggs are sufficient in volume to give tam into the kosher eggs, well then all of them are going to be asr. But bottom line, what you see over there is that even though it's not a beitz asafroach, or it doesn't seem to, it's a regular egg, we assume that eggs are no same tam to each other, that they do have the ability to impart flavor to each other. And says the Gemara, hachanami bebeitz asafroach. No, who said it's talking about regular eggs? Maybe that case is also talking about a beitz asafroach, dafka when there is a chick inside of the eggs. Frak the Gemara, v'amai kari la tmeya. Why do we call it tmeya? Meaning, why is a beitz hasafroach that has a kosher, that's from a kosher bird that has a chick in it, why is that called tmeya? So answer the Gemara, kiven de isba afroach kari la tmeya. That as long as it has an afroach in it, it's considered tamei, even if it's an oaf, even if it's from an oaf tahar. V'amidiktani seifa, but frak the Gemara, but wait a second, is it so simple to just say that we're talking about that it has an afroach in it? But the seifa says, beitzim shasholkan v'nimtza efroach ba'achas mehen im yesh ben nosin tam kulan asuros. The Seifa says if you have a bunch of eggs that are cooked together and one of them has an efroach in it, then if it's enough sufficient to give tam to the rest, they're all going to be asir. Mechal deresha d'lespa efroach haskinan, which makes it very clear that the previous case was a case where you didn't find a chick in one of the eggs. So how can you say that the resha was also talking about a case where you found a chick and that's the only reason it's considered to be no same tam? The Seifa first introduces the factor of finding an Efroach. Answers the Gemara, Prushe Kamefaresh. No, the Seifa is merely explaining the Resha. It's not two different cases. Beitzim Tahoros Shasholkan and Beitzim Tmeos. The way to read the Brisa is as follows. If you have kosher eggs being cooked with non-kosher eggs, im yesh ben nosin tam kulan asuros. If they're able to give tam, if the non-kosher gives flavor to the kosher, then they're all going to be asir. Ketzad, what's a case where an egg is going to be able to give flavor? Kigon shasholkan v'nimtza afroach ba'achas mehen. We're not talking about eggs from a non-kosher bird that are cooked, because the eggs alone do not give any flavor. No, the case is where you cooked it together and you found a chick in one of the eggs. That's the iser. So chinami mistavran, you have to say that that's pshat. Because if you're going to say that the resha is talking about a case where there's no afroach, hasha delespa afroach asura, then why would I need the case of the Seifa? Once you tell me that a non-kosher egg, even without a nefroach, is able to aser other kosher eggs by being cooked together. So then would you need to tell me that an egg that has a nefroach, which has actual basar inside of it, and therefore certainly has an enhanced ability to be no Saint Tam, is going to aser the other eggs? Of course that would be aser. So that's the raya, that it must be one case, it's not two separate cases, and the seifa is just explaining the resha. Says the Gemara, that's not such a good raya. Imishum ha lo irya. If that's the best you got, well then that's not a great raya, because it could be tana seifa the gluye resha. Then irachinami, if you knew that the resha was talking about a case where it didn't have an afroach, then irachinami the seifa introducing a case where it does have an afroach would be extra, would be unnecessary. But maybe we need the seifa to reveal what the case in the resha is. Not that it's one case, but the contrast reveals what the case in the resha is as follows: Shelo tomar, lest you say that you should not say resha de ispa afroach, that the case of the resha where it's aser is only if it has a chick in it, avlespa afroach sharia, but if it doesn't have a chick, then it's going to be totally mutter. So that's why tana seifa de ispa afroach mechal de resha de lespa afroach afilu achi asira. You could have argued that the reason the seifa introduces the case of ispa afroach, of having a chick in it, is so that you can then realize that the resha must have been talking about a different case where it didn't have a chick in it, and nevertheless it's still going to be asur. Because had you only given me the resha, one might have said the resha must be talking about a case of ispa afroach. Now that you tell me the seif is talking about a case of ispa afroach, the resha is talking about a case of lespa afroach, and that too is asur, and that's the entire chiddush. So that's a viable way of reading the brisa, and therefore the fact that there are two cases is not a raya to anything. We wanted to bring it as a raya that the resha must be talking about a case where it's ispa afroach and it's one big case. No, could be that it's two separate cases, and that it could have been that it was two separate cases, and the seif is just being megala on the resha, so we don't have any rayas. Doesn't change the maskana though. Even though we don't have a raya to it, the Gemara's maskana still seems to be that the resha is talking about a case of ispa afroach, because if there's no afroach, the beitzos don't have any ability to impart tam. Period. Hau kezeisa tarba de nafal b'dikula. New case. A kezayis of chelev falls into a pot b'dikula de bisra, falls into a pot of meat. So right off the bat, what exactly the case? Well, let's read two more lines. So Rav Asi l'shiure b'may debala dikula. So Rav Asi wanted to be mishaer, wanted to measure when figuring out whether there's shishim. He wanted to measure with what was he wanted to count in the measurement that which was absorbed by the pot itself. Amri le Rabbanan Ravashi. So Rabbanan said to Ravashi, Atu de terebala di sura lo bala. What, you think the pot only absorbs kosher flavor? It doesn't absorb non-kosher flavor? Meaning just like you want to use the kosher flavor absorbed by the pot to help the mevatel, the chelev that fell into the pot, well, there might be non-kosher flavor that was also absorbed by the pot. How come you're not accounting for that? So Elamai, what do you have to do? Forget about the flavor absorbed by the pot. Look at the contents of the pot. Do you have shisha in the contents of the pot? Yes, then good. No, then no good. You can't try to cheshbon out how much has been absorbed by the pot. So what exactly is going on in this Gemara? What exactly the case is subject to machlokas rishonim. Rashi understands that we're talking about chelev fell into a pot, and we don't know how big the piece of chelev was at the time that it fell in. Now, after it's been cooking for a while, we find that the chelev is exactly one kezayis. But we do know that at the time the chelev fell in, the rest of the contents of the pot were 60 kezesim. Now the rest of the contents of the pot have shriveled up. It's less than 60 kezesim. But at the time that it fell in, it was 60 kezesim. Now that the kedera is here and we measure the heter, there's, let's say, 58 kezesim. There's a little less than 60 kezesim. So you don't have 60 keneged the one kezayis of chelev that we have in front of us. So Rav Ashi wanted to be matir everything, because he wanted to say, look, all we know for sure is that we have one kezayis of iser, because that's what's right in front of us. We know that at one time we had 60 kezesim of heter. Granted, we don't have 60 kezesim anymore. That's only because two of those kezesim were already absorbed by the pot. Then when it shriveled up through the cooking, it was absorbed by the pot. So we should still say bittul b'shishim. So the Rabbanan said to him, so the Rabbanan said to Ravashi, what are you talking about? Just like the heter shriveled up and was absorbed by the pot, now you have a kazayas of Isser in front of you. You think it was only a kazayas when it originally fell in? It's also been cooking. It also has been shriveled up. It was probably much larger than a kazayas. So you absolutely cannot rely on any sort of bittul over here. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. The Ritva just asks, the Rav Ashi seems so illogical over here, that if that's what's going on in this Gemara, Rav Ashi is very, very illogical. Of course, if the heter shriveled up during the cooking, the Isser also probably shriveled up during the cooking. Why would he assume that only the heter shriveled up, but the Isser remained exactly intact the way it was? So the way the Ritva understands is that since Chelev and Basar are min bimino, they're two like kinds, and the halachi is on a daraisa level, min bimino is chad betray batel, it's batel barov, you don't need shishim from min bimino. So Rav Ashi thought that when we don't know for sure, how large the Isser was at the beginning, that he thought we could rely on this kind of shishim, even though it's not a real legitimate shishim, since we're only messing around with the din derabanan anyway. Since midaraisa, it would have been batal anyway. That's how the Ritva understands Shitas Rashi. The Ravid understands this Gemara totally differently. The Ravid says that the sugi is talking about Isser v'heter of the pot itself, meaning we're talking about that a kazayis of chela fell into a pot, and there were 60 kazayisim of heter against that kazayis of chelev. Now now we find that there is, now that we're looking after it's cooked for a while, there's no longer a 60-to-1 ratio of heter to iser. So the Ravid says one thing is pashut, that whatever the contents of the pot are, that has to be thrown out. Because if there's no longer a ratio of 60-to-1 heter to iser, so whatever's been cooking in the last few minutes is with less than the necessary ratio, so whatever's in the pot is vaday aser. Question is, what about the pot itself? Is the pot itself also aser? So Rav Ashi thought to say that the pot should be kosher, because since at the time that the iser and the heter originally started cooking, there was a 60-to-1 ratio of heter to iser, so whatever has become absorbed by the pot is heter. There's at least a 60-to-1 ratio of heter that was absorbed by the pot. And Rav Ashi is not going to pay attention to that which was cooking later on, you know, as the ratio has changed, because at the time that the Isser went into the heter and became Aser, he's not worried about that in the most recent minutes. The Isser has Asered all of the contents of the pot, and therefore that went ahead and got absorbed into the pot and Asered the pot as well. So the Rabbanan said, what do you mean? You think the pot only absorbs all at one time? It's an ongoing process. So true, at the beginning it was absorbing enough heter to be mevatel the iser, but recently, since the heter has shriveled up, now it's not absorbing enough heter to be mevatel the iser. So that should be enough to aser the pot. So the Ravid says the whole case is talking about the pot, it's not talking about the contents of the pot. Okay, the Ramban is the third shita, but we have to move on. Ha'u palga d'zeisa d'tarba, there was a half a kazayis of chelev, d'nafel b'dikula d'bisra, that fell into a pot of meat. Savar marbar of So Marbar Ravashi thought that we could be mevatelit with 30 half kizesim, meaning instead of 60 half kizesim, instead of being mevatel b'shishim, he thought you could be mevatel b'shloshim. Since anyway you didn't have a full kizayis of iser to begin with, he thought it's not as serious. So Amalei Avua, so his father said to him, Lav aminilach lo tzalzel b'shurim d'rabbanan. So wait, didn't I teach you you shouldn't be mezalzel in shurim d'rabbanan, shurim of iser Midrabanan, meaning even if a half a kazayis of chelev is only an isser midrabanan, that for the isser daraisa you need a full kazayis. But still, even for things that are asim midrabanan, you shouldn't mess around. You should take the shiurim seriously. Va'odam Rabbi Yochanan chatzi shir asim min haTorah. But beside that, you're wrong. A chatzi zayis of chelev is asim min haTorah. When you eat a half of a shear, you violate an isser daraisa. You may not get punished for it, but it's an absolute issur d'oraisa. It's not merely an issur d'rabbanan. So Amar of Shaman bar Abba, Amar of Idi bar Gershom, Amar Levi bar Parta, Amar Rabbi Nachum, Amar Rabbi Biriam, Mishum Zakin Echad, Rabbi Yaakov Shemei. So a bunch of rabbis said in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, the Bein Nesia Amru, that in the Bein Nesia they said, Beitza b'shishim asura, b'shishim ba'achas mutares. that if you have one beitza mixed in with 60 other beitzim, it's aser. You have it mixed in with 61 other beitzim, then it's going to be mutter. Amar Rabbi Zeru Rav Shem Baraba, Re'esha Tamatil Bagvul Heter. He says, wow, I see that you're taking a stand about at what stage you're going to be matir, at what ratio you're going to be matir an egg. But you should know that that wasn't always so pashut, because Shari Shnei Gedolei Adar Lo Pirshu Es Adavar. The two Gedolei Adar discussed this issue, and they weren't so sure. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yidi Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, and I'm referring to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yidi Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Tervai Mishmed Rabbi Shmuel Ben Levi Amri, they both said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Ben Levi, Beitza B'Shishim Asura, B'Shishim Achas Mutaris. They both said that a Beitza is going to be Asur B'Shishim, but it's going to be Mutar B'Shishim Be'echad. V'Yibayilhu, and we asked the Shiloh, what do you mean B'Shishim? B'Shishim Be'achas Ba'adei Dida? Odilma L'Barmina. When you say Beitza is going to be Mutar B'Shishim Be'echad, does that mean if you have one Beitza that's Asur and 60 Beitzin that are Mutar, for a total of 61, that's when it's going to be Mutar? Or did it mean no? One beitza that's aser with 61 beitzim that are mutter. That's going to be mutter. But any less than 61 mutter beitzim, can I get the one aser beitza for a total of 62 is going to be aser. So below pashit, and we didn't know. We didn't know what they didn't clarify one way or the other. Umar pashut l'mifshat, and you're being poshet this shayla. You assume that it's a davar pashut that the one beitza with 61 other beitzim is going to be mutter. So with 60 other beitzim for a total of 61, you assume it's going to be mutter. Itmar, Amar Rabbi Chelba Amar Rav Huna, Beitzim B'Shishim V'Hi Asura. The halach is an egg with 60, a trefa egg with 60 kosher eggs is asur. B'Shishim V'Achas V'Hi Muteres. If you have 61 kosher eggs and one trefa egg, then it's going to be mutter. But that's what you need. Not shishim of kosher versus the one non-kosher. Shishim ve'echot, 61 kosher versus the one non-kosher. The question, of course, is why? Why is it dafka by an egg that we require this extra chumrah of needing not just shishim, but shishim v'achas, such a strange number, that you dafka one more, 61. So the Rishonim, the Ramban quotes that they're yesha pirshu, that because of the chashivus of the egg, that an egg is a beria, that an egg is a complete unit, so the Rabban and Dafka wanted to make a heker that it's only going to be batel when you add an extra one, kishiyura, when you add an extra one to add to the size. So the Rashba just asks, he says he doesn't understand, because you're not coming to be mevatel the beitza itself. You're coming to be mevatel the flavor that the beitza has emitted. The flavor is in the flavor that the beitza has emitted is not a davar chashuv. The beitza itself is a davar chashuv. And even if you say that we want to talk it, that we're talking about a case where you're trying to mevatel the beitza itself, that the beitza was all broken up and mixed in to a dish. So nevertheless, once it's broken up and mixed into the dish, it's no longer davar chashuv. It's no longer a beria. It's only a beria when it's intact. So the Rashba doesn't understand what, because it's a beria, because it's such a chashuv a thing, that's why you need the extra number. Manav shech. If we're talking about the platos, we're talking about the tam that was emitted. That's not a chashuv a thing. That's not a beria. If we're talking about the egg itself and it was actually mixed in, well then it's no longer a beria if it was actually mixed in. So the Ramban is mefarish differently. He says no. The reason that we require 61 dafka bay eggs is, you ever go to a supermarket and look at the eggs? There's jumbo eggs, there's extra large eggs, there's extra extra large eggs, there's large eggs, there's, you know, they're all very slightly different sized. So you have one egg mixed in with 60 other eggs. It's very likely that not all the eggs are exactly the same size. And your one egg may be a jumbo, assuming jumbo is the biggest, I don't know. Your one egg may be the biggest size, and the other eggs may be slightly smaller, undiscernible almost, but slightly smaller. So in order to be safe, to make sure you in fact have shishim, so that's what the Ramban says, that's why we require shishim be'echad. You require 61 eggs, keneged the one iser. The Rambam seems to say the first shita that the Ramban quoted. The Rambam writes that a beitza that you find in afroach, that an afroach is found in it, that's cooked together with other beitzim that are mutter, if there's shishim va'achas of mutter eggs, they're mutter. He says, mipreshi beria b'fnei atzma, asu hekerba v'osifu b'shiura. Because it's a beria, the Rabbanan Dafka wanted to make a heker. That's Rabban Huchsmachol Surus, Perktas Vav, Halach Yates. L'may nafkamina between these two understandings of the Gemara? So there will be a couple of nafkaminas. Let's say you cook an egg not with 60 other eggs. You cook an egg with some other dish. So now, do you need 61 of heter keneged the egg, or do you only need 60 of heter keneged the egg? If the reason that you need 61 by the eggs is that it's a beria, it's a davar chashuv, I don't care what you cook it with, you would need 61. But if you hold that, no, the reason you need 61 is because we're worried that the size of the other eggs isn't really exactly the size of this egg, and you're not going to estimate it properly, well then when you have another dish, you could just look at the actual volume of the other dish compared to the egg, and you should only need 60. Another nafkamina the Shach points out, is what if the eggs are all broken up into the plate? According to the reason of the Rambam, you don't need shishim ve'echad, because if it's all broken up and mixed in to the dish, it's no longer a beria. So it shouldn't be a problem. But according to the Ramban, the minor difference in size is even less discernible when it's broken up. Kal v'chomer, you would need the shishim ve'achas in that situation. Okay, vayter in the Gemara. Hu da'asol kamei Rav Nachman bar Rebbi, amar lei, abba lo shir bar-arbaim v'sheva, niyah shar bar-arbaim v'chamesh. We'll go with Rashi's second interpretation of this Gemara. Someone came and thought that they could be mekel with be mevatel something in 45 times the heter to iser, 45 to 1 ratio. So he said, my father wouldn't even be mevatel things in 47 to 1 ratio. I'm going to be mevatel in a 45 to 1 ratio. This was apparently before they discovered shishin as the end all be all, as the known ratio. He had a similar situation where someone came to him and wanted to be mevatel in a 43 to 1 ratio. He said, my dad wasn't even vatal in a 45 to 1 ratio. I'm being vatal in a 43 to 1 ratio. Someone came to Rabbi Chia and he wanted to be vatal, let's say it was a 25 to 1 ratio. He says, you don't even have shloshim. You don't even have a 30 to 1 ratio. How can I be vatal? So says Gemara, 30? Where does 30 matter? Time of the luck, shloshim yikar, shloshim sharin. 30? That's enough? Does that mean to imply that 30 to 1 ratio would have been enough? I'm Rabbi Chanina Guzma. Rabbi Chanina says, no, it's just an exaggeration. Obviously, 31 would not be enough. I'm Rabbi Chia Baraba. I'm Rabbi Shulban Levi Mishum Bar Kapara. Kol Yisur in Shabbat Torah B'Shishim. Any Yisur in the Torah, we always measure with Shishim. You always look for a 60 to 1 ratio. Says Rashi, that's provided that you know that there's no tam there. But if you're able to detect tam, then even if there is Shishim, if you're able to detect that there's flavor from the Yisur that was transmitted to the rest of the pot, then even if it's 1,000, it doesn't, it's 1,000 to 1 ratio of Heter is. Or it's not going to be mevatelit. But assuming that you're unable to tell if there's tam, so shishim is the magic number. Amar lefanav Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Rabbi ata omer kein. Yeah, that's what you say, Rabbi. But halchi amar Ravasi amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi mishum bar kapara kol yisurin shabator b'meya. But Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi said the name bar kapara that you need 100 to 1 ratio for all yisurim. Ushneim lalamdua elim yizra b'sheila, and they both learned it out from the ayil that the nazir has to bring, where the halacha is that the zroa b'sheila, that the right foreleg of the animal is given to a kohen. So, and that right foreleg is cooked with the rest of the animal. So they both derive their measurements of 60 and 100 respectively from their estimates of the ratio between the foreleg and the rest of the aisle and the rest of the ram, which are all cooked together, because a non-kohen is not allowed to eat that foreleg, and yet it's being cooked together with the rest of the ram, and yet we're allowed to eat the rest of the ram. So apparently it's considered to be batel. Question is, what exactly is the ratio between the rest of the ram and that foreleg? One of them understands that it's a shishim ratio, the other understands that it's a meya. And they're not arguing metzius. We'll see in a second what they're arguing about. B'sheila means that it remains intact, that the leg remains fully intact. How the Gemara gets that, Rashi says he has no idea. Tosos has a suggestion, whatever, but it means that it's intact. Rabbi Shimon Yichai Omer, Ein B'Sheila in the Spashla Im Ha'ayil, that B'Sheila means that it's supposed to be cooked still together in the same pot as the ayil. So the kuliyam bahadi ayil mevashala. Everyone holds that it's cooked in the same pot as the ayil. Marsav mechatichla v'hadim mevashala, umarsav mevashala v'hadim mechatichla. The machlok between Tanakama and Rav Shimon Yochai is simply, do you cut it off and then cook it together with the ayil, or do you just leave it on the ayil while it's cooked together and cut it off later? But either way, it's being cooked in the same pot together with the rest of the ayil, so you're going to need to be mevatalit, obviously. You need time of heter to be mevatalit. V'iba yisema, others understand the machlokas differently. That kuli alam mechatech lavadim vashala, that everyone really holds you cut it off first and then you cook it. Miu marsover bahadei ayin vashala, marsover b'gdera acheres mevashala. And the machlokas is whether you cook it together in the same pot or you cook it in a separate pot. Now, if you cook it in a separate pot, well, then there's no bittul going on over here because you cut off the problematic part, the part that's going to go to the kohen, and you cook it separately. It's never mixing with the other part of the animal. But Lilishna kama liba de divrei kol. The first way we understood the machlokas, where everyone holds that it's being cooked in the same pot, and lishna basra liba de Rabbi Shimon Yochai. And even the second way of understanding the machlokas, well, according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, it's being cooked in the same pot. So there is going to be some bittul taking place over here. Where do we derive the numbers, the ratios, 60 to 1 or 100 to 1? So mandi amr b'shishim, the one that says that it's a 60 to 1 ratio. Savar basar v'atzamos bahadei basar v'atzamos misharinan. Vavle b'shishim assumes that the way to work out the ratio is not just the amount of meat in the foreleg versus the amount of meat in the rest of the animal. It's the meat and the bones in the rest of the animal versus the meat and the bones in the foreleg, which the cheshbon is about a 60 to 1 ratio. And that's where they get the number shishim to be mevatel, because here the Torah says you're supposed to cook it together, so we're being mevatel l'chachila the 60 to 1. Mandiam Rabbi Meir, the one that says that it's a 100 to 1 ratio, Savar basa bade basa misharinan vavle b'meya, says that no, you don't take the bones into account. You only take the meat into account. And the meat of the rest of the aisle compared to the meat of the Zroa B'Sheila is a 100 to 1 ratio. So frankly, Gemara, mi alfin and minak, can you really learn from the Zroa B'Sheila of the aisle to Kolata Rukula in terms of what their proper ratio is supposed to be? Vatanya zeu hetra ba mechlal iser, zeu lemute mai, lav lemute kol isun shabatora. Didn't we say that it's dafka that we single out this aisle as a het as something you're allowed to eat even though it was cooked together with Isser, which implies that normally when you have heta that's cooked together with Isser, you wouldn't follow the rules that you follow by ayil. So even if you're going to say that there is a bitul b'shishim by the ayil, there's a bitul b'meya by the ayil, by the zroa b'sheil of the ayil of the nazir, how can you learn that to kol ha'tara kula? That we dafka say that it's an exception here. Am rabbi lo nitzcha l'rabiyu d'damra min b'mina lo batil. No, the Chiddush is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds two like kinds are never batel in each other. The way Rabbi Yehuda understands bittel, the way the Ran explains in Maseches Nedarim, is that bittel means that there's a conflict of qualities. That one, when there are two conflicting qualities, the majority overwhelms the minority. But when you don't have conflicting qualities, when you have min b'mino, two things that are like kinds, then they always enhance each other. They don't overwhelm each other, and therefore they never become batel. So over here, the chiddush is that it's batel. That's the great chiddush. But the fact, the ratio is not the great chiddush. The ratio teaches us for the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula that ratio would be true everywhere, 60 to 1 or 100 to 1. So frankly, Gemara v'ligmar mine. But why don't we learn from here that min b'mino can in fact be batel? So Gali Rachman of Alakach midam apar midam asar tzarvay abadi adani nidhu v'lobatli, because we have a separate pasuk that talks about dam apar and dam asar that are mixed, and we still refer to them as independent entities, implying that even though the dam apar is so much greater than the dam asar, it's still not mevatel the dam asar. So we see from there that min b'mino is not batel. Mimele, you can't see from here that min b'mino is batel. This must be an exception that we allow min b'mino to be batel. Umaychaz the gamrin mehech ligmer mehai, but you have two sources. One to suggest min b'mino is batel, that's over here. One to suggest min b'mino is not batel by the dam par dam sayer. Why would you use the dam par dam sayer as the prototype and assume that our case is the exception? Answers the Gemara, chiddushu, me chiddush lo gamrinan. Because our case is a chiddush, in that we allow bitul l'chachila. We allow you to cook the iser with the heter together, l'chachila. That's a great chiddush, and you can't derive anything from a chiddush. And that's why we assume that the dam par, dam sayer, is the normal case where we're going to learn kol ha'torah kula from. This case, we only learn ratio of kol ha'torah kula, but not min b'mino. Okay, it was an abbreviated shir. I guess we'll pick up from there tomorrow.